And I'll start reading at verse 8. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. The Bible says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, the Syrians, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, and they were disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And they set up false witnesses, which said, 'This man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered.' And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Father, we pray you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and exposition of your word. We ask for your anointing, your dunamis, dynamite power, God, today. And we pray, God, that no weapon formed against us would prosper. We pray that I would decrease and you would increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, really appreciate y'all coming out, amen, in this weather. And so I pray that God will speak to you in this word and encourage you, amen. A lot of the times, amen, when you come out like this or you tune in like this, amen, God's going to have something special for you, amen. And so we've been in the book of Acts, and we noticed that, hallelujah, there was murmuring in the church. The Grecian Hebrews were arguing against the Hebrews in Jerusalem. And the problem was that there was a neglection of the Grecian Hebrews in the administration of food. The apostles quickly, amen, asserted that they could not solve the problem because they had other priorities. And the priorities of the apostles was that they needed to stay in the word and they needed to stay in prayer. But God gave the apostles a plan on how to solve this problem in Acts 6. They told the people, go ahead and select seven men, amen, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost. And this would operate as the first deacons of the church. And these deacons, amen, would oversee this food administration so that the church would not be divided, so that the church would not fall apart, so that the church could survive. And saints of God, that's just what happened. We looked at, amen, the list of seven men they chose, hallelujah. They installed them, and the Bible says the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied, and even some of the Levites who were in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, Old Dispensation, even they began to believe the gospel. We picked up in verse 8, and the Bible focused in on one of the seven, an awesome man of God by the name of Stephen. In fact, that's the title of our messages we've been preaching. We've been talking about Stephen, and we did part one, part two, amen. And today we're on part three. We've been talking about him. We've gone through 5 points already about Stephen. He was full of faith. He was full of power. He did great wonders and miracles. In verse 9, we looked at how the synagogue, amen, gathered themselves against him. And they began, point number 5, to dispute with Stephen. And so that's what we've talked about thus far this morning. We're just going to continue. And we're going to focus in on verse 10. And I believe verse 10 is all we're going to need. If you look at what we've been looking at, we've covered 5 points already. And today will be the 6th point, which is not able to resist. Somebody say, not able to resist. Amen. And so that's what we'll cover, amen, this morning. And so as we cover this point, not able to resist, we're going to have, I guess, about 3 or 4 sub-points, and then we're going to get out of here. Look at verse 10. This is the verse that we're coming from. The Bible says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he," that's Stephen, "by which he spake." Sub-point A. We're going to focus in on that phrase, "and they." Somebody say, "and they." The Bible begins verse 10 and says, "and they were not able to resist." You see, Whenever I read my Bible and I see Brother Brian, I see and they, amen, I ask a question. I say, well, who are they? Who are we talking about here? You know what I'm saying? And they. We just don't read and keep reading. We ask questions, amen. Because anytime you ask the Bible a question, amen, the Bible is able to answer every question that you ask. Anybody hear me up in here? Hallelujah. To answer that question, who represents they in verse 9, you just, or verse 10, you just go back to verse 9. And as you go back to verse 9, we see that Luke is referring to the synagogues that he mentioned in verse 9. He's referring to the libertines. He's referring to the Cyrenians. He's referring to the Alexandrians. He's referring to those of Cilicia and those of Asia. All those different synagogues, all those different Hebrew churches, all those different places that go that they would go and learn Torah and learn the Pentateuch and learn the Old Testament and learn how to pray. These were not only churches in the Hebrew community. These were like schools. Amen. They go in and they memorize the Torah. They go in and memorize the commandments. And you had, amen, doctors. You had scribes. You had really educated men of God who was leading these synagogues. And what I'm saying is when the Bible says, and they, it's saying that all of the synagogues, all of these centers of learnings, all of these churches, amen, what did they do? They came together, but they were not able to resist Stephen. The Bible says, and God gave me a revelation, amen, that you heard before, but that somebody needs to hear this morning. All right. When the Bible says, and they, amen, hey, God began to show me Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Anybody hear me up in here? Anybody hear me? Because what we need to remember is that all the synagogues came against Stephen. All right? They didn't come against Peter. They didn't come against Paul. They didn't come against John. They came against Stephen. All right? This was no apostle. Amen? He was a deacon, you know? But he didn't have to be apostle. All right? Because God was with him. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? What I'm saying is that they can have more people against you. They can have more money against you. They can have more education against you. More media against you. Amen. More power over music against you. More power over the internet against you. They can control all the banks. They can control all the universities. They can control every single thing. Amen. But here we have all of the synagogues coming against Stephen, but they still were not able to resist him. They could not defeat him. Anybody hear me up in here? This is a word for us because sometimes, y'all, we can get overwhelmed. Sometimes we can look at the odds, amen, and say that we could never win, amen. But we serve a God who wins against all odds. That's the way he is. And so it don't matter, amen, what you're up against. And it could be for the Hebrew doctrine, amen, but it could be on your job. It could be you going into an interview. It could be problems in your marriage. It could be problems with your children. It could be problems in your finances. It doesn't matter who is against you if God is for you. Come on, somebody. I just couldn't pass it up because I knew that every now and then God will send somebody in church that's going through. That feel like it's hopeless. That feel like, amen, they can't win, amen, for losing. They can't, nothing will happen that'll work out. The business won't work out, amen. It's too many that's stacked against them. And I have in my notes, listen, they may be better looking than you. They may be in better shape than you. They may have better credit than you. They may have a bigger building, a better church than you. They may have a bigger house than you. They may have a bigger and better school than you. When they put it on the table, they have better education, better degrees than you. When y'all look at y'all teams, they may even have a better team than you. But one thing they don't have, just like the synagogue did not have, they did not have a better God than you. Amen. Woo! The Bible says they were not able to resist Stephen. They all came together, y'all. And last time we talked about, amen, how they came together. They couldn't come together for nothing good, but they came together for evil. And I'm telling you that, hallelujah, even though they come together, amen, they're not going to be able to defeat us because God is with us. Come on, give God some glory. All right? And it could be whoever they want. And God showed me Acts 5 and 39 again. Amen. And this is encouraging to me, saints. Because to me, amen, is the big task that's coming up. To me is a big, a big calling that we walking into. And it's not just pastor, we walking into it as a church. Amen. Philadelphia is walking into this. But we've been called for such a time as this. Anybody hear me up in here? We've been prophesied that we would be a national voice, that we would be a national ministry. Amen. And I'm telling you here that if your pastor go national, that means the ministers go national. That means the deacons go national. That means the ministry heads go national. That means everybody in this church go national. Hey, God have mercy. Woo! You don't even know. You don't even know. You know what I'm saying? And it's a big, it's a tall order. It's a tall order. And a lot of times you could sit there and get nervous about it. A lot of the time you could say, man, how in the world all this going to happen? It's not our business how it's going to happen. All we have to know is who going to make it happen. That's, oh, God, oh, God. Listen, the Bible says in 5:39, Gamaliel told him, he told him to their face. Gamaliel said, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest haply you be found to even fight against God. Let me tell you, saints, when you're rolling with God, you're never gonna lose. You can't lose when you're rolling with God. It don't matter who they are and who they are that come against you. Amen. If you are with God and God is with you, to fight against you means that they fight against him. Listen to me good. When Egypt decided to fight against Moses, Egypt picked up a fight with the Most High God. Anybody hear me up in here? And Moses told the people of God, stand still and see the salvation of our God. Hey, God, you won't even have to fight when God is in the battle. Amen. All you got to do is show up when God is there. It don't matter who they are. When Joshua, amen, when Jericho decided to fight against Joshua, Jericho decided to fight against God. And they thought that they could hide behind walls that God made. Hide behind walls made of substance that God spoke in existence. Well, if God spoke the wall into existence, he can speak it out of existence and make it fall flat. Amen? It don't matter who they are and what they have and who they know. All right? All right? When the Midianites chose to fight against Gideon, when Gideon was outnumbered, outgunned, amen, and everything else. All he had was some pottery from Pottery Barn, amen, a light and a little sword. And he was outnumbered. But God was with him. When Goliath chose to fight against David, Goliath chose to fight against somebody that was bigger than him. When the armies fought against Jehoshaphat, remember God told Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody needed a word of encouragement. You're going through a battle and you think that you're the fighter of the battle. You're not fighting the battle. You're an observer. You better just get your popcorn and sit on the front row and watch God TKO all your problems. Amen? It's like wrestling we used to watch. Amen. They breaking you up in the room, in the ring, while the God of all creation is saying, just tag me. Just tag me. Tag me. You can't handle your husband, but I can. Tag me. You can't handle your boss at work, but I can. Tag me. You can't handle the bank, but I can. Just tag me. You can't handle the bills, but I can. Just tag me. You can't handle the sickness, but I can. Just tag me. You can't handle the problems in the black community, but I can't. Just tag me. You can't handle the Ashkenazis, but I can't. Just tag me. You can't handle the Rothschilds, but I can't. Just tag me. The battle is not yours, for the battle, it is the Lord's. That's what he was telling Hezekiah. He said, just show up. Just bring your army and stand in array, he says. That means go ahead and get in position. All right? You show up, but God will show out. The problem is, quote, we don't show up. We see the odds. We see the odds. And for fear, we stay home. We done forgot. We done forgot. We've forgotten our history. It never was in our favor. We never had the odds. The nation itself is a miracle. Never should have been born, and to this day should not exist. You know? Whenever you have something on your hands that's bigger than you, begin to do your dance. Begin to rejoice. Begin to get a praise. Amen. Because God is about to give you a testimony. He's about to give you a testimony. He's about. You see? Look. Exodus 14, 13. That's what I was talking about. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more. This was a slave nation. And Egypt was the superpower of the world. Look at verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you. And ye shall, what? You shall hold your peace. Stay still. Stay still. Stay still. Hush your mouth and stay still. Hush your mouth and stay still. Tag him and get out the way. Tag him and get out the way. Tag him and get out the way. 2 Chronicles 20:15. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. God knows who your enemy is. He knows where they are. He knows what weapons they use. He says, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jaruel. Hey, God. In verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Just set yourselves, but stand ye still. And see the salvation of the Lord, hallelujah, with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40 and 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, he fainted not. Neither is he weary. You see, some of y'all think that God got tired in the Old Testament. Y'all think that all of his miracles are done with. Y'all think he can't split no seas no more. But let me tell you something about omnipotence. Omnipotence can do a miracle and never lose power and be full right after it split a sea. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And what he did before, he can do again. He don't faint, and neither does he get weary. My God is not only not dead, my God is not tired. Come on, give God some glory. He ain't tired. He ain't tired. He ain't tired. There is no searching of his understanding. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth the strength. I don't know who's fainting in here. I don't know, amen, if there's somebody in here who would say, hallelujah, that I'm weak and I have no might. Well, if that's you, you're in a good place. For the rest of the scripture say, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You see? In Jeremiah 1:19, look what he says. Yes, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. That's your scripture for today. Write it down and bring it home. They shall fight against thee, whatever you're going through, but they shall not prevail against thee. Why? For I am with thee, saith the Lord. For what reason? To deliver thee. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Amen. That's the they in verse 10. That's the they. You see? And they. Let's look at subpoint B. Amen. The Bible says, and they, even though they came together, even though they were more in number, more in power, more in finances, more in education, and they were not able to resist the wisdom of Stephen. Let's look at subpoint B, resist. When the Hebrews came together, the synagogue came together to argue against Stephen, the Bible says they were not able to resist him. The word resist means to oppose. They were not able to really oppose him. The word resist means to withstand. They were not able to withstand him. The word resist means to overcome. They were not able to overcome him, nor defeat him, nor beat him in any way, nor win. They came up to debate Stephen. Hallelujah. But Stephen, through the power of God, crushed them. And they were not able to resist him. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. This means he completely dominated them on every argumentative level. They didn't win a single point. They were not able to resist him. He proved by irrefutable arguments that, number one, Yahshua was and still is the Christ. This is the case of Stephen. He argued and showed them that Jesus, Yahshua, the Christ, that he is and was and is the Messiah. And as he proved that Jesus was the Messiah, they couldn't say nothing about it. And I could see Stephen turning to the Old Testament. Hey, a virgin shall conceive, and saying, hallelujah, here's evidence here. Mary is still with her. Go ask her if she's been with somebody. The virgin conceived. Amen. Hey, God, he was born in Bethlehem. And him, Stephen, saying, look, hey, God, ask his people and ask his cousins and ask where his family from. And look at the records in Rome and see how they had to go back to Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem on this night. Hey, God, he was arguing with them about Jesus being the Christ. Hey, God, naming people that Jesus healed. Calling the facts of him walking on the water. Calling the facts of him multiplying the fish and loaves. Calling all of the facts about Jesus. Tying this into the Old Testament. And as he proved the messiahship of our Lord Jesus, the synagogues, the educated, the doctors, they had nothing to say. This is what the Bible means when it says, hey, God, they came together, but they were not able to resist him. But not only the messiahship of our Lord. Stephen's case centered around, amen, not only him being a living Messiah, but a dying Messiah. A Messiah that would be crucified. And Stephen began to prove this through the Levitical law. Amen. Showing them, hallelujah, to Genesis, how the Messiah would come and crush the serpent's head, but the serpent would bruise his heel. He began to show how even in the desert, amen, that, hallelujah, Israel was going through problems with the serpent, but the brazen serpent would be raised up, amen, showing that that was a picture of Christ. He brought him to Moses in the Passover and saying that the blood of the lamb kept the destroyer from killing off, hey, God, the people of Israel, pointing to Jesus. He showed him, amen, the sacrificial system and how they had a lamb for the Day of Atonement that would take away the sins of Israel, and said that John told y'all before he came, behold the Lamb of God that should take away the sins of the earth. Listen to me now. He showed he was not only the Messiah, but that he died on the cross. Died on the cross according to the scriptures. And as Stephen was a God, just laying scripture upon them. Not only biblical proof, but empirical evidence from the people that were surrounding the city. That Jesus was not only Messiah, but that he died on the cross. They couldn't resist that he died. He said, we can go back to the Roman records. We can show y'all the soldiers that was there. He was our Messiah, and he died for our sins on that cross. Not only did he die, but I'm telling you, Stephen, preaching the gospel like the gospel's supposed to be preached, said, but yet he died bodily. He gave up the ghost on that cross. He said, Taleo, amen, it is finished. But he did not stay dead. Amen. Stephen said he rose on the third day with all power and all might. And we still got the witnesses to this day to prove it. Amen. Stephen says, listen, even in Paul's day, Paul said there are around 500 people who saw him live after he died. Stephen said, I can call 500 up right now. Could you imagine arguing with a man like Stephen in front of all these people? And Stephen got all these witnesses he can call up and all of the Old Testament that testify against him. Because even the Bible said that the Messiah would die. But that, God would not suffer his soul to abide in hell. God, but would raise him up again. Even Isaiah 53 would tell us, amen, that that the Father would be pleased with him. Hallelujah, the offering of his soul, amen. But even after he would die, he would have an inheritance, amen, in heaven. Stephen, he lambasted them with evidence in the Bible, but also factual, empirical evidence, amen, and they could not resist him. And then the most important part of Stephen's case, not only that he was Messiah, not only that he died on the cross, not only that he rose from the grave on the third day, but Stephen showed them, amen, on the stand in this formal debate, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Stephen showed them, amen, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Stephen showed them that, amen, that God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him, amen, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Stephen showed them that the law was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. We would never be saved by it, amen, for there is not a man that sinneth not, and by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Stephen showed them a holy God, a sinful people, but he showed them the bridge whereby they can get to their holy God. He showed them the cross of Calvary. He showed them the gospel, saints. From the Old Testament to the New. And there was nothing they could say about that. Nothing they could say. They were not able to resist him. There's somebody here, amen, that still needs to hear Stephen case this morning. Still need to hear of a Messiah named Jesus Yahshua. Still need to hear about how he lived a righteous life and died a sacrificial death, but rose on the third day. Still need to hear, amen, that if you call upon him today, like the old church folk used to say, 2,000 years later, the cross has still not lost any of its power. Remember, I told you that our God, he faints not in the power. Still here this morning, that'll take a sinner, hallelujah, and save him and make him a saint. That'll take somebody who's in the enemy's camp and translate him out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Take a drug dealer, amen, and make a deacon out of him. Make a minister out of him. Make a pastor out of him. Take a street woman, hey God, woo, and make a woman of God that spreads the gospel. There's still power in that old rugged cross. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. They resisted Stephen, but they could not fight against him. They could not. They came, but they could not oppose him nor withstand him. Amen. At the end of this service, those that need to be saved, whether in here or via the internet, we're going to pray with you. Amen. And you're going to be able to get saved. Hallelujah. Let's look at subpoint C this morning. We're just moving through the verse. Line upon line, precept upon precept. The Bible says here in verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. It was two things that God gave Stephen that made his case unbeatable. That made, hallelujah, him as though it were unopposable, undisputed. A God, heavyweight deacon of the world, amen. What was it? What was it that God gave him? As we look at our sub-point, see, the first thing God gave him was wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. Oh, wisdom is a powerful thing. Right? Wisdom is a powerful thing. The Greek word for wisdom is Sophia. Somebody say Sophia, which is a beautiful name. Beautiful name. If you name your daughter that, you get to speak it on her every single day. Sophia, Sophia, Sophia. You see? But Pastor, what is wisdom? Wisdom, saints, is the proper application of knowledge. You see? Wisdom is when you take what you know and you apply it correctly. Right? Knowledge knows that the light is red. But wisdom says stop. Anybody hear me up here? You apply what you know. Knowledge knows that that's quicksand. Wisdom say walk around it. Knowledge knows how to use a gun. But wisdom knows when to use it. Knowledge memorizes the law, the commandments, the Bible, but wisdom obeys it. God have mercy. It's the application of what you know. Knowledge learns of God, but wisdom loves him and serves him. Amen. It applies what we know. Listen, listen, listen. The Hebrews in Stephen's day, they all knew the Torah. They all knew the Pentateuch. They all knew the Old Testament, but very few of them applied it. Anybody hear me up in here? They all knew the scriptures about Messiah, but none of them applied it to the Messiah when he came. They knew it in the head, but not in the heart. They knew it in the abstract, but not in the real realm. Oh, God have mercy. You see, saints, a lot of people know the Bible. They know the scriptures. You see? But not too many people can properly apply the scriptures. And when I mean apply it to specific situations and even apply it to their own lives. You see, knowing is half the battle. You see, if you happy with only knowing, God have mercy, then man, I'm telling you, you're going to be of all men most miserable, all women most miserable. Because you're going to be able to say it, but you ain't going to be able to do nothing. And you see me, amen, I don't like to just talk about it. I like to be about it. Anybody hear me up in here? That's why I love my little wife, you know what I'm saying? My little wife can take vision out the abstract and say, now, okay, what are we going to do about this thing? And she begins to plan and orchestrate. You understand what I'm saying? And I sit down and I look and I get excited, amen, because I see vision. I see knowledge. I see knowledge properly applied. Anybody hear me up in here? Hey, God. And the beauty about it, amen, some of us have a gift of knowledge. We can know things and memorize things. If you have a gift of knowledge, you got to do one or two things. You got to pray, God, send me some wisdom to go with that knowledge. Or God, hook me up with somebody with some wisdom so that the things I know and the things that I see, hey, they could be the hands and the feet that put them things in operation. Oh, God, have mercy up in here. All right? Right? And a lot of the times, God will put a husband and a wife together like that. You know what I'm saying? And you don't even know it. Here you are, you the husband or you the wife, you think you good for nothing. You think that you don't have what it takes. Because everybody lift up the other spouse with all the knowledge. Because they talk a good game. They know all the scriptures. They know that, but they ain't doing nothing. Here it is. You know three scriptures, but the three scriptures you know, you done applied that. You got that right. Hey, God. Now, if y'all not operating in the oneness we spoke about for marriage ministry, what's going to happen is that knowledge and wisdom going to be divided. It's going to be divorced even though it's living together. And ain't nothing sweeter than knowledge and wisdom coming together and operate, hey, God, in the way it's supposed to work. It's like the right hand and the left hand in a boxing match. Because when you think you can stop the right, there come the left. Anybody hear me up in here? And when you think you got the left, hallelujah, that right will come and get you. Knowledge and wisdom. Somebody say, Lord, give me some wisdom. I'm telling you. Yeah. When you learn how to work with that, in the church is so fickle and backwards. They don't value people with wisdom. They don't value the wisdom. They don't value the applicators. They don't value the applicators. They only value the ones that appear like they knew. The talkers. You see? We want to be a church where we take the knowledge and we take the wisdom. And we apply what we know to what's going on in the earth. You see, it was by wisdom that Stephen, God, defeated all the arguments, all the debate. Amen. It was by wisdom because they had all the knowledge, but they couldn't apply it. They knew all the Bible. But they couldn't apply the Bible like Stephen. Stephen said, yeah, you know that scripture, but let me tell you what that scripture really means and what that scripture is really talking about. Ooh! I look at the church. They know all the scriptures about the Hebrews, but they don't know who the Hebrews are. They have not properly applied it. And Brandon, listen, if they would just apply it, if they would just take all the truth about the Hebrews and really apply it, they would see clearly that's not the people. And they would begin to see clearly who are the people. One scripture, they would be put on ships and sent to Egypt a second time. And I can count many others. You see what I'm saying? But nobody valuing wisdom. You see what I'm saying? I just gotta stay right here for a second. I gotta stay right here. I'm gonna mess up my notes here, but the Holy Ghost is leading me right here. I gotta just you know what I'm saying? We gonna get back to what we miss. Amen. But look at Proverbs 4:7, sound boot. Amen. It's further down. You see? Wisdom, what is it? You know what I'm saying? It's the application of knowledge. Proverbs 4:7 says this, wisdom is the principal thing. Other translations say wisdom is supreme. Hey, God have mercy. He says, therefore do what? Get wisdom. Hey, and with all thy getting, get what? Get understanding. Amen. And I love that because God is saying that it's supreme. It's, now, of course, it's not supreme over him because he's the father of wisdom. You understand? Well, wisdom comes from the Most High. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's supreme in our realm that we operate in on the earth. It's the one thing that you would rather have over a lot of things. In Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than what? Than rubies. And all things that may be desired are not compared to her. Them big, bright, expensive rubies got nothing on wisdom. And if you had a choice between a ruby and wisdom, you better say, ruby, go sit down. I want wisdom in my life. Because if I get a ruby with no wisdom, I'm going to lose it. But if I get wisdom, I'm going to get the wisdom and the ruby. That was wisdom I was just sharing with you. Listen, Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver. You see what I'm saying? Wisdom is amazing, saints. And the funny thing about it is people think they have it when they don't. They think they have it when they don't. You see? That's why you pray for it. And you don't stop praying for it. And you pray for it for your spouse. You pray for it for your husband. You pray for it for your wife. Because it's one thing to know something. Amen? But it's another thing to take what you know and apply it at the right time. You see? A word spoken in season, how sweet it is. You see? Listen to me good here. Brother Carl, you would understand. I got a toolbox with all kind of tools. But if I can't figure out which tool to use on which job, then I'm no better than the man without any tools. Some people got a head full of knowledge. That's a box full of tools. But don't know which job to pull which tool out on and to work on that job. When do I need the wrench and when do I need the hammer? Anybody hear me up in here? When do I need it? When do I need it? When do I need it? You see? When do I need it? You see? When do I love? When do I get tough? When do I stand? When do I run? When do I witness? And when do I hold my peace? When do I open my mouth? And when do I be quiet? Hey, God! When do I move? And when do I stay still? When? You see? It don't matter if the man can hit the ball over the fence. If he swing at everything that's thrown at him, he gonna strike out. You understand what I'm saying? You gotta know your times and seasons. He told him, man, he said, you could discern the face of the sky. Oh, you felt that, huh, prophecies? He said, but you can't discern the signs of the, you know all the scriptures. You got knowledge of weather patterns and everything, but you don't have enough wisdom to apply what you know, to know that we are in this time and that this time this is going on and that I'm here and that's what Jesus was telling them, boy. Stephen overcame them with wisdom. Got a little quote for you. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. And you meet him every day. They don't know nothing, but they act like they know. First one to open their mind. First one. He who knows not, but don't know, he don't know. You know what you call it? That's a fool. That's a fool. And a fool is the opposite of somebody that's wise. Don't ever be in that situation. Don't ever be in that situation. Don't you come in a situation acting like you know something when you don't know ni ji no ha. That's good. You don't know nothing. That's because of pride, brother. That's because of pride, brother. He who knows not and knows he knows not, he's a child. you could teach him. If you don't know something, it ain't no big deal about that. We all go through times when we don't know something. All right? All right? So if you're a youngster, a teenager, adolescent, don't try to act like you know everything. No, 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 no. If you don't know, act like you don't know. Ask a question. Admit when you don't know something. I was just in a big meeting with Brother Hildum the other day, and they said something I didn't know. And look, I look at the people, I say, what's that? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm being real. I'm being transparent. If you never admit you don't know something, you're never going to learn nothing. Hey, God. You can't teach nobody that act like they know it all. He said, if you don't know, listen. You got to act like you don't know. You got to know you don't know. Then you're teachable, baby. But it's not just youngsters, no. But it's youngsters in the faith as well. It's newer Christians, all right? Look at it. He said, he who knows not and knows he knows not. Do we have any people that know they don't know it all just yet? You see what I'm saying? You see, when you get to that place where you know they got some people ahead of you, and you know that they can teach you some things. And even if your pride can't admit that, because you proud, let me just tell you. All right? When you first get saved, listen, there is a lot you don't know. And you're going to even go through seasons where you think you know. You're in that first category we talked about. There is so much you don't know about the Lord. So much you don't know about his ways. So much you don't know about his Bible. So much you don't know about the enemy. So much you don't know about life and marriage and children. So much you don't know about business. And there's so much, you know. You see, because when you get saved, God got to take your life and start over. You understand what I'm saying? He got to start over. In philosophy, we call it tabula rasa. He gotta do a clean slate. Because everything you taught, God help me, Lord. Everything you thought you knew, most of it was wrong. So he gotta re-educate you. So in every area of your life, whether it's marriage or finances or the way you dress, every area, I can't go through the multitude of areas. Every area he gotta go through. Anybody been invaded by God in every area of your life? You think you all right in some areas, and then God come and just hit you with one in the solar plexus. He just, I thought I was good, God. And so the longer you walk out, usually, not all the time. Because if you're playing with God, it ain't going to work. But the longer you walk it out and you're serious about him, he's going to be able to get in those places and do some things. Do some things and you like, I thought it was all right. And so that time that you have with God and you're serious with God, when somebody first started their walk, they got so many boxes that ain't been opened by God. And you can't tell them. They won't even know what you're talking about. You tell them. They not. He overcame them with wisdom. Look. He who knows not and knows he knows not, he's a child. You could teach him. You see? He who knows and knows not he knows, that Negro, he asleep. He know, but he just don't know he know. What you got to do to him? You got to wake him up. Sound like our people. Listen, he who knows and knows, he is wise. Follow him. That's
I found that little quote. I said, man. You see?
Stephen knew something. And he knew that he knew something. How did he know that he knew something? Ooh, because of what God was doing. He knew that he was in the right place at the right time and God was on the move. Hey, God. And he took that scripture and he took that knowledge and he put that with wisdom and they couldn't resist him. They couldn't overcome them. And I'm telling you, this is what Jesus promises to all of us saints. If we would humble ourselves and ask him for this wisdom, Jesus says this, Luke 21:14. Now we're going back. We're going back. We out of order, but we're going back. Jesus says in 21:14, settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. All right? If you think you know it all, you're never going to ask God for wisdom. If you never ask God for wisdom, you have not because you ask not. And this scripture not going to apply to you. But if you humble yourself and say, God, there's some things I don't know, and I'm not operating at a supreme level of wisdom, and I need you, amen. God say, I'm going to give you wisdom that when they come up against you, all of your adversaries will not be able to gainsay you nor resist you. And Stephen, hey, God, is that scripture come to life. It was not able to resist him. It couldn't do nothing with him. You see what I'm saying? And I'm going to show you here in a second. They couldn't beat him in an argument. A public debate? So they secretly slandered him. We're going to get to it. You see? All right? All right? He's going to give you a mouth and wisdom. All your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And God brought me to Exodus 4:11. And this is for some of our saints that say, man, God, but I can't speak. I'm slow of speech. I know you want to give me wisdom like Stephen when the situation calls, but God, how I'm going to talk for you, God. God, I don't have education, God. I'm just a housewife, God. I ain't working years, God. God, these people here, they educators, they professors. And God, you know, what am I supposed to do? How I'm supposed to stand up, God? What am I supposed to say? Exodus 4:11. And the Lord said unto him, who had made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord, God says? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. Come on, give God some glory for that. See, there's somebody here saying, I can't talk for God. Because I can't even talk for myself. I got a little stutter problem, a little lisp problem. I'm shy. God say, I put that mouth on your face. And I can make that mouth do what I want it to do. And though you stutter like, hey, Porky the Pig, I make you eloquent like Socrates and all them other philosophers. You get up here, you turn to a different man. You see what I'm saying? Who had made man's mouth. You see what I'm saying? Jesus operated in this wisdom that they was not able to gainsay or resist. I remember just reading about Jesus and them setting him up. You know what I'm saying? And all of the time, he wouldn't beat him with knowledge. No, he would tear him up with wisdom, the application of the knowledge. All right? And so he would tell them something they knew, but that they couldn't apply. And so in 22:45, they knew that David was the son, or that the Messiah was the son of David. But he said, yeah, you know that, but can you apply it? He said, if David didn't call him Lord, how is he his son? If the Messiah is David's son, how is he? Why did David call him Lord? You see? And the Bible said, and no man was able to answer him a word. I love this. Neither durst. I love that in the King James. Neither durst. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions, because that brother was way too bad. He not only knew the scriptures we knew, but he was able to apply them. Because what they didn't know was that Messiah would not only be the son of David, but that he would be the living God, incarnate, walking in human flesh. You see what I'm saying? And they would know that in their head, but they couldn't apply it. You see? All right? Yeah, there's all kind of questions he asked them that just stubbed them. You see? Well, when they was trying to get him for healing a man on the Sabbath, he said, "Which are you if your ox fall into a pit?" Won't go get your ox. And the Bible said they could not answer him. He said, "The baptism of John, it was from heaven or from men." They couldn't answer him. You see? God will give you so much wisdom, man of God, woman of God, that they will not be able to resist you or answer you. You just got to humble yourself and admit to God that you don't know some things, and that you, even the things you know, you need the timing and the wisdom to apply those things. And the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not. Somebody say, God, give me wisdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm done with this, John, but I'm telling you, wisdom, God have mercy. You could walk up to a situation, all right, and hit a brick wall, and it appears like there's no way to get this thing done. And wisdom? Wisdom will show you a secret passageway on that wall. You understand what I'm saying? Wisdom will show you. Wisdom will show you things. Just read Proverbs and don't stop reading it. You see what I'm saying? We usually have our daughters on the Proverbs constantly. You see? Because we want them to be wise. All right? And they got a lot of us in here. We got situations where we can be blessed, but we're missing that key ingredient, wisdom. The door is there. The doorknob is there. We know how a doorknob functions, but we don't know how to apply it just to open the next level and walk through it. What I'm saying is that I could be in the same situation some of y'all are in. Or another person could be in the same situation you in, and you looking at it and you say, there's no way this can change. Another person, anointed by God, given a gift of wisdom of God, could come in your same situation with the same thing that you have and work a work that though you saw. I mean, he got everything you got. He got everything you got. He living in the same house you living in. Got the same wife, the same kids. And he come in and make it jump. Or she come in, make it jump. Ain't nothing different about what the person might have and you have. All that's different is wisdom. Take the same church that's dying from another pastor. Take the same business that's going down in flames. Brother Duck, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you want to be that person where you have so much wisdom on the inside, you walk in a situation that's dying. And it lives. Woo! You got one doctor that know the same thing as every other doctor. The same patient. Same medicine. Patient dying. Different doctor. Wisdom. Patient. I'm done. He overcame them. Husbands and wives, if y'all would learn that most of the time God marries knowledge and wisdom. Brother Carl, you know that they call it epoxy. It's like a glue that really sticks, and it come in a pack, but it come with two separate substances, and the JB well, and the substances don't work separately, meaning that if you try to take the gray one and put it on there and try to use it to accomplish the purpose, ain't nothing shaking. But if you take the green and you mix it with the black and you put it on and you stick that on, then it do what it was designed to do, you and your wife. If y'all would just mix a little. Just mix a little. Take an idea and put both of y'all into it. Just. We got millionaire families in here. But wisdom and knowledge fussing at each other. Wisdom and knowledge fussing. Last point. D. The Spirit. We're just looking at verse 10. And they couldn't resist him. Why? Because of the wisdom, but also The Spirit. Right? Now this word Spirit, you see, is the Greek word pneuma. Somebody say pneuma. Not yuma, ama. Pneuma. All right, pneuma. Now pneuma can mean two things, and I'm a go ahead and tell you both of them, and I believe what they're talking about here applies in both situations. They couldn't resist his Spirit, all right? The first thing this means is, and just forget about the notes here. I might have put some letters, and we're going to just flow a little bit, all right? First thing pneuma means in the Greek, it means the soul. Somebody say soul. That's what pneuma means, soul. I'm going to get to the other meaning in a second. Right? Soul. They could not resist his wisdom while he was talking and his soul. You see, while they were debating, they were talking from their mind. But Stephen was talking from his soul. His pneuma, his soul. All right? And when you talk from your soul, when you walk from your soul, when you sing from your soul, when you work from your soul, whatever you do from your soul, from your heart of hearts, is always going to be stronger, more powerful, always going to overcome anybody that's doing something merely from their head, their mind. From the soul, dog. From the soul. You see, they were debating something that they learned in class. That they saw in a video, that they read in a book. They was regurgitating information that somebody else had said. And so they was going in there on memory.
Stephen wasn't talking about what somebody said. He wasn't trying to introduce them to a Messiah that he had heard about. Stephen was talking about something that he knew because somebody had touched his soul. This was his heart. This was his life. And so there's a difference in debate, in argumentation. When somebody come with their heart and they lay it down. And they not only could not resist his wisdom, but the soul that he brought. Listen to me. There's a scripture in the Psalms that say deep calls to deep. Meaning that wherever your words come from, whether they come from shallow or deep, that's how the people going to feel you. If you talk from shallow, hey, God, they going to hear you. They going to be entertained, but it ain't going to move nothing. They going to clap, have a good time, walk out, and that's going to be it. But what is from the heart, touches and goes to the heart. Anybody hear me up in here? What I'm saying is that soul talks to soul. And heart talks to heart. Whatever you do, you don't talk from your mouth. You don't talk from your mind. You talk from your heart. You talk from your soul. Don't talk about what you know. You talk about what you done been through. You understand what I'm saying? Nah, this is how it go. You know what I'm saying? Right? One of the first things, amen, I was teaching my little wife when she was teaching. She was learning how to teach, you know? And we talk about it all the time, you know? And I tell it to our teachers in here, all right? There's going to be a difference when you teach something, amen, that you read but you're not doing. There's a difference. When you teach something that you read but you're not doing, there's a difference when you teach something that you read, that you know, and that you're doing, that you're operating in, that you're operating in. You know? You know? And like me, look, let me tell you, man. Me, look, I could hear the soul. I could hear the heart. That's why sometimes I get aggravated in prayer. Because, you know, sometimes people come to just open their mouth. And don't be no soul. Don't be no deep calling the deep. Listen, if the prayer don't move you, it's not going to move God. It's got to be. Man, let me teach you something, man. I had to learn this, man. And the way I learned it was through hard knocks. I'm trying to give you a shortcut. You know what I'm saying? And not just prayer, no. Preaching too. Preaching too. Don't come up here trying to look pretty, man. If you ain't doing it, don't say it. Pastor Trippin, if you ain't got your marriage right, why in the world is you talking about marriage? If your children out of whack, why in the world is you trying to tell somebody about raising their children? If you're struggling with pornography and perversion, why in the world is you talking about pornography and perversion? You're playing. And it's not from the heart. And not only can people hear it and know it, but worse than that, your life is going to give you something to say.
your life is going to give you something to say. All of us have something to say. He's given us victory in different areas, and we all have something to say. Realize that. We all have something to say. The issue is, don't say nothing that's not for you to say. Because it ain't worked in your heart yet. Boy, that pastor tripping today. You fall asleep when it's not from here. When you praying, everybody looking around. Because I'm not feeling. Listen, we say, I'm not feeling him. Stephen overcame him at the debate because everybody that was watching not only heard him, they could feel him. They felt his word. Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke? What burned? Did not our hearts burn? The Holy Ghost told me, leave y'all alone. Let him go, Pastor. Let him go. They could not resist his pneuma, his soul. Secondly, that word pneuma also means Holy Spirit. And I believe both are true. Stephen came with soul power, but he also came with Holy Ghost power. Right? And just by the way, listen. You know, that's why we strive to do what's right. Because the more righteous you live and the more you try to align yourself with God, that's the more things that God going to give you to talk about. Amen. Your life earns you the right to talk about things. All right? So look. Secondly, they were not able to resist the wisdom and what? And the Spirit by which he spake. Pneuma not only means the soul of man, but it also could mean the Holy Spirit, the second person of the Godhead, the second person of the Trinity. And so while I'm researching and studying, some commentators saying it means soul and his passion, and other people saying, no, that means Holy Spirit. And I'm saying, no, but the word could mean both. And I see Stephen up there with soul and Holy Ghost power. That's what I see. All right. Yeah. All the synagogues came together to debate Stephen. But they really were debating against God, the Holy Spirit. They came for Stephen and got God. They bit off more than they could chew. Mark 13:11 tells us that Jesus said it would happen like this. Mark 13:11 says, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but what? But the Holy Ghost. Go. Hey, God have mercy. Anybody want the Holy Ghost to talk through them? All right. Stephen had wisdom. He had soul, passion, power, and he had Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was ordering his thoughts, giving him his words that went straight to the hearts of men and applied the knowledge of God like it was supposed to. The synagogues bit off more than they could chew. Listen to me, just like you want God to give you wisdom, you want to be led by the Holy Ghost. And everything you say, and everything you do, every place you go, you got to be led. A lot of us are being led by ourselves. We're not walking in the Spirit, saints. We're walking in the flesh. And a lot of things we do, amen, there's a fleshly source for that. And you got to understand, man, your actions have a source.
Whatever you do has a why you're doing it. And you can't have the why you're doing it to be things of the flesh. It can't be lust the reason why you do stuff. It can't be jealousy the reason why you do stuff. It can't be pride the reason why you do stuff. You see, the church, we in a place where we just doing, but we're not asking why we doing. Why are you going there in your car? Why you take that way to work? Why you doing this and why you doing that? Is it Holy Ghost led or is it flesh led? The motive of your action is going to determine if it's God or if it's not God. Anybody hear me up in here? Anybody hear me up in here? You don't choose the job because she worked there or because he worked there. That's not spirit. You know? That's not spirit. All right? You don't get on the worship team because you want to sing better than her. That's not spirit. You don't get a house because he got a house. You don't go and run and get a car because she got a car. You know? It's the why. You don't talk because he talking. Every time he says something, you want to say something too. You don't pray because he prayed. Well, he just prayed and I want to pray. You don't want to preach because he preach or she preach. We're doing some hard work. We're doing some hard work. Don't worry about it. I mean, we got it open. We done opened up the cavity. We done cut the sternum, and we done opened up the rib cage. We looking at what you got going on up in there. The why. The why. All right? The why. You know? The why. We strive to be Holy Ghost led. The Spirit. There was a tour guide type of dude. He would lead people on expeditions. He was in Arabia back in the early times. And he was one of the most famous guides for expeditions. And when people would go and try to explore new terrain, they would always get this guy. They called him the Dove Man. The Dove Man. And the thing is that other tour guides would get lost. And sometimes people would die, make a wrong turn or whatever like that, because a lot of this stuff was new terrain. And there was no GPS. You couldn't ask Siri or nobody like that where we at. All right? None of that. All right, you had to trust in the guide, right? Well, this Dove Man was famous because he had a reputation that he never got lost. He always brought the people who retained his services back home. But it wasn't that he didn't get lost. What people didn't know, amen, is that he had his name for a reason. He always brought a dove with him. A dove. And it wasn't that he knew his way home. It wasn't that he knew everywhere he was going. It was the dove who was with him that knew. And all he did is, when he got lost, he snuck away from the people that paid him the exorbitant amounts of money. Yes, took his dove out, tied a little string on one of the legs of the dove, and say, "Oh, dove, it don't fail me now." And he would throw the dove up as high as he can and hold on to the string as hard as he could. And the dove would always fly back to the direction of home. And the dove would fly and he would hold on to the string. And the dove would pull and strain against the string to get back home.
You have a dove, Christian. You have a sweet dove. I can call you the dove man, the dove lady. You got a dove that's with you. That will always show you the way home. We only lost because we want to be lost. But hey, we would just learn the secret of the dove man. Take the dove out. Throw him up, but hold on to the string. And the dove will always strain towards home. Always strain towards what the Father wants. Always strain towards the city where Father wants you to live, the church where Father wants you to go, the job that Father wants you to take. Hey, God, the words that Father wants you to say, the dove. Are you wise enough to throw the dove up? And are you sensitive enough to feel the dove's strain? Can you feel him? Can you feel him? I hear a little music in the background. Can y'all turn that off? That's going to mess up the record. We're not going to be able to use it if y'all keep that music back then. Listen to me. My job as a pastor, amen, is to take a people from not knowing God to bringing them all the way to the place where they know him. My job is to teach you how to pray, to teach you the word. Amen. This is a spiritual university. All right? All right? And I've been blessed, amen, to be the professor. You know what I'm saying? And my job is to teach you some things. And one of the greatest things that I could teach you, amen, is to learn the strain, the little tug, the still, small voice. You know what I'm saying? You're going to hear him. You're going to hear him. And the problem is there's many voices, Chantel. There's many voices. There's us. There's our mama, our daddy. There's so many voices that's telling us which way to go and how to operate. But his voice is there too. Our job is like that man on the street with the cups. We have to decide which cup. But the thing about it is, if you listen close, if you watch close, you're going to know which one is the Spirit. You're going to know him. Because there's certain things the Spirit going to do and not going to do. Certain places the Spirit going to lead you and not going to lead you. If you read your Bible and learn your Bible and say, God, take this Bible and give me wisdom, help me, open my eyes so I can see you. You know the way of love going to be the Spirit. The way of peace going to be the Spirit. The way of joy going to be the Spirit. You know the long-suffering way going to be the Spirit. You know the way of meekness going to be the Spirit. You know the way of humility is going to be the Spirit. You know the righteous way going to be the Spirit. What if all of us leave this place like Stephen this morning? Somebody got it. Full of the wisdom of God. Full of the Spirit of God. We enter on our jobs, our workplaces, and our communities, and we just come in. And all of our foes and all the enemies that stand against us don't have a shot against us. Because of this wisdom, this Spirit, this living from our soul. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Daddy, for your word. We thank you so much, God, for a people that want to be pastored. I thank you didn't give me a church that just come here, God, just to buy their time. But you've given me a people that want to be
all that you have them to be. I pray for husbands and wives right now that they would not operate, Lord God, as enemies, but that they would operate like the right hand and the left hand. That they would operate like the right and left legs. I pray that they would compliment one another. I pray, O King, that you would give us all wisdom. You would allow us to live from our souls. And you would bless us with the dove, the sweet dove, the leading of your Holy Spirit. Now, Father, I know that there's somebody in here who may not know you. And while I was going through Stephen's case, about you dying and rising from the grave, it piqued their interest and set their heart on fire. They've come here this morning with one question: what must I do to be saved? And Father, we try our best to answer that question every morning. Accompany it now with power, Daddy, and save the lost in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. The Philippian jailer asked the same question: what must I do to be saved? And the answer 2,000 years later is the same answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household shall be saved. If you're here today, you admit that you're a sinner to God, but you put all your faith in Him. Death, burial, resurrection. And you know that you know that you know that you are saved because He died. And you believe it so strong they can't argue it out of you. You believe it so strong you'll tell anybody about it. That's the belief that we need this morning. I'm going to open up the altar. And if you're here this morning and you want to be saved, you can come up and pray with me. If you're here this morning and you say, God, I need wisdom, you can come up. If you're here this morning and your husband and wife and you're saying, man, we not operating like wisdom and knowledge, but we operating like cats and dogs. And God, we need you to fix this thing because we got a great calling together. We just have not been using what you gave us to the most optimal level. I won't pray for you this morning. There's some that's saying, Father, I want to be a dove man. I want to be a dove woman. I want to learn how to hear that sweet whisper so that I will never get lost. Never end up where I'm not supposed to be. I won't pray for you that you can hear Him clearly and learn the movings, the motions of the wind of God, the breath of God. And there's some, you've been living this life from your head and not from your soul. I'm going to pray that God will open up that heart so that you can live from that thing. You know, you like the tin man on the Wizard of Oz. You know, no heart. You know, no heart. I hope I got that right. I don't. Ain't saw it in a long time. I know one of them had a brain, but that was the scarecrow. I'm gonna pray for your heart today. Come, let's pray before we go. Come on. Come on. You know who you are. Come. 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 Well, me and my wife not perfect. We not perfect. Though we have our struggles, we've learned a few lessons along the way. God has used a little knowledge and a little bit of Sophia, a little bit of wisdom, you know, to bring to pass some things in the natural. And I'm here to tell you, if God can do it
through us. He can do it through you. For my God says he's not a respecter of persons. He'll answer us, y'all. All we have to do is call. Let's put first things first. Repeat after me. Say, Father God, I admit I'm not perfect. I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry. But I believe that you died on the cross, you were buried in the grave, and on the third day, you rose with all power and all might. Lord, save me, a sinner. I need you. Can't do it without you. I'd be lost without you. Save me, Daddy. Forgive me, Daddy. And use me, Daddy. Right now, I pray for wisdom. The wisdom of God. I pray you set me on fire. And I live from my soul and not my mind. I want to be a deep person. Because deep calls to deep. Open my heart. Pour your Holy Spirit all over me. Fill me up till I overflow. Give me power, giftings, anointing. This is for the married folk, right? This is for the married folk. Help us, Lord. To work together. No friction. We are tired of canceling one another's strength. Unite us so that two can put 10,000 to flight. Give us knowledge. Give us wisdom. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Yahshua's name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory, somebody. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory. Give him some glory, somebody. Woo! You can't talk about what you can't have, what you don't have. And you can't impart what you have not been given. Whatever we have, Daddy, come open up your hands to receive. Whatever we have, Daddy, to work together to bring your will on earth as it is in heaven, impart it now to your people, Daddy. Let husbands and wives work together, God. Hey, God, we pray for even a greater anointing than me and my wife. Let it fall on somebody that's willing to receive it, Daddy. I'm not proud. But somebody in here got some work to do. And when I'm gone, Daddy, when I'm gone, let somebody in here carry on. Carry it on. Carry it on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with peace, with shalom, prosperity, and favor upon you right now. Oh God, you're going to enter into a new season. You're entering into a new season.
You came in the rain and you're going to get a rain blessing. You're going to get a rain blessing. You came. You came. You're going to another level. You're going to another level. To another level. If I was singles, woo, save this message. It's going to come into fruition. In Jesus' name. Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed. And be blessed. You're blessed. Boy, I saw your son, boy. On fire.